Well, it's a privilege to be here today to speak about the spirituality of Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary. You know, the Pope has said that every religious order, every religious movement should get back to the spirituality of their founder. So the Jesuits should go back to the spirituality of St. Ignatius, the Franciscans back to St. Francis, the Dominicans to St. Dominic. And so the Legion has to look to its founder, Frank Duff, and go back to look at his spirituality and see how we can follow his example and imitate his virtues. Now, in preparing this talk, I was thinking about different aspects of Frank Duff's spirituality, and I came up with about a dozen things to say, and then I noticed that the word spirituality has 12 letters in it. So I said, hey, this could work. You know, this could work pretty well. So I, you know, worked on it off and on before the Blessed Sacrament, and I think it came out okay, hopefully. So let me give you these 12 ideas in regards to Frank Duff's spirituality. So if you have anything to write with, I just want to give you these 12 words and explain these for you. Now, the letter F in spirituality stands for Frank Duff's sainthood, because as a young man, he had a desire to become a saint. That was his goal. And we know this because in the year 1916, he wrote a little booklet called Can We Be Saints? How many of you have read that booklet, Can We Be Saints? Now, that is a brilliant booklet, isn't it? He wrote that when he was 27 years old. 27 years old. He wrote it in 1916. And it really is the blueprint of his own spiritual life, the roadmap that he used to get to heaven. We call it his plan of life. And in that booklet, Can We Be Saints? He said a saint is somebody who does ordinary things extraordinarily well, with great love for God. And in the booklet, he talked about the importance of prayer, devotion to Our Lady, the sacraments, doing spiritual reading, and living an apostolic life. So that's the first idea, is that he had a desire to become a saint. And he wrote that booklet, and he did live what he wrote. The next letter is P, and that stands for his prayer and penance. Frank Duff had a beautiful interior life, a life of prayer. He attended daily Mass. He started to attend daily Mass in Lent of the year 1914 as a Lenten practice, and he never gave it up. And he continued to attend Mass every day of his entire life until he died on November 7, 1980. So he went to daily Mass, received Holy Communion each day. He spent 1 hour each day before the Blessed Sacrament. He prayed the Rosary each and every day of his life. And he said the Divine Office every day. He never missed even a verse of the Divine Office from the time he started praying it as a young man, probably around the year 1921. And at that time, the Divine Office was in Latin, and it took an hour and 45 minutes to pray. And he said it every single day. So Frank Duff was a man of prayer, besides being, of course, a great apostle and a man of action. But he was also a man of penance. And some of these penances he took on himself. For example, in the year 1914, he joined the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association, which is where a person wears a little badge of the Sacred Heart, and they give up drinking alcohol out of reparation to the Sacred Heart for all the sin of alcoholism, which, as you know, Irish is very prevalent in the past in Ireland. Remember, an Irishman's seven-course meal is a potato and a six-pack. So Frank Duff, as a young man, made this commitment and joined the Pioneers. And he also decided to wear this little badge because, as a young man, he was filled with human respect. He cared too much about what people thought of him. And so he didn't really want to show off his Catholicism, but he said, this will be a good penance if I wear this little badge. That way it tells everybody that I'm a Catholic, because I'm wearing the badge of the Sacred Heart. And he also said that he thought that because later in his life, because of the stress that he was under, he probably would have become an alcoholic had he not made that promise to our Lord. Now, another penance he did was every year he went to Loch Derg, which, as you know, is called St. Patrick's Purgatory. It's a little island where people go over and spend 3 days, and there's fasting, they stay up, and they do the Stations of the Cross. And he did this beginning in the year 1915, and he did it for 49 years in a row. He had to stop when he turned, I think, 74. When his health broke down, the doctor said he shouldn't go to Loch Derg anymore. But he voluntarily did this penance. He also lived a life of simplicity. When he was being interviewed for the back in 1979, when the Legionaries went over to do the videotaping interviews, they were interviewed like 30 hours of Frank Duff, and because of that, they said he should come wearing different clothing, like different suits. He said, "I only own one suit," he said. But he said, I own 100 neckties. So every videotape, he would have a different necktie. But he was a man of simplicity. And as you know, he only rode a bicycle. And he only drove a car once in his life, and that was when he was a young man. He borrowed his brother's car, and the engine exploded during the time he drove the car, so he never drove again. The rest of his life, he spent bicycling around Ireland. He was very frugal with his money. He would not waste money. In fact, he bought a slide projector for like $50 or 50 pounds at one time. And every time he showed slides to his friends, he would say, "Now this showing is costing me $50. And then the second time he said, "This is costing us $25. The next time, "This is costing us $13, then $6. He got it down to where he was showing these slideshows, he said, for about a penny apiece. That's how frugal he was in counting his money. But this was sort of a penance for him, the simplicity and doing these things. But he also had other kinds of penance, namely the crosses that he had during his life. And one of his biggest crosses was his hearing. Frank Duff was hard of hearing since he was a young man, because he was hit by a cricket ball in the ear, and he had many operations on his hearing during his lifetime. And you'll notice that's why in the Legion Handbook it says you must give an adequate and audible report on the work done. Because poor Frank Duff couldn't hear anything at the Legion meeting. He said the president must speak in a tone that rings throughout the room, and the secretary's minutes must be audible. But that was a cross for Frank Duff, his hearing, and normally you would see him at the Concilium meetings just with, you know, trying to listen, straining to hear every word that was said. He also had a stroke during his life, which affected him, and towards the end he did have a heart condition. He was even taking pills for his heart shortly before he died. So those with hearing problems should pray to Frank Duff. Those with heart problems or stroke should pray to him as for a special intercession. He really is, I think, a patron saint for legionaries with those crosses that they carry. Also, another one of his crosses was sort of his limited education. He stopped his formal education when he was about 14 years of age, because he was so brilliant that he graduated from Black Rock College at the age of 14. And then the rest of his education was just self-education. One of his crosses was the losing of his family members when they were quite young. And Frank Duff, he said he was the sole survivor of his family. And he lived many years after the rest of his family had passed away. Another cross of his was opposition to the Legion of Mary. And he said that was his greatest cross in life, that those who would be opposed to the spreading of the Legion. So he was a man of prayer and a man of penance. Not only did he do physical penance, but he accepted these sufferings as a cross. The next letter in spirituality is I, and it stands for the fact that he was Irish. Now, this is important because he came from this culture, this rich Catholic tradition, this heritage. When we think back of the great Irish saints, of St. Patrick and St. Brendan, St. Bridget, and the missionaries, the monks of the West, that went out on the first Peregrinatio pro Christos to evangelize Europe after the fall of the Roman Empire. He came from this rich Irish tradition, a tradition of persecution, where the Catholic Church was persecuted. And as you know, persecution always makes you strong in your faith. So Frank Duff inherited this rich Catholic culture from his family, and he loved the Irish, you know, the Irish countryside, Irish music, and especially Irish humor. Which leads us to the next letter, R, which stands for retreat, because Frank Duff would often go to the monasteries, to Mount Mellery. And again, this was part of the rich Irish tradition of the Trappists and the Cistercians. And so Frank Duff, as a young man, would go on retreats and pilgrimages. I mentioned Loch Derg, and he would also climb Crowpatrick, which was a very steep mountain in Ireland. And he did this, again, each year in a spirit of a pilgrimage. And he began making an annual retreat at Mount Mellery in the year 1919. And he did this every year of his life. He would spend a week every year and go on his annual retreat. And as we know, that's even recommended for legionaries to make an annual legion retreat. One of the funny stories was he first started going to Mount Mellery with his friend Joe Gabbett, who was just a real character. And Joe Gabbett was just a man who had been in the military and was helping Frank Duff in the early days before the Legion was started. And Joe Gabbett was a character. He would, when he went to Mount Mellery for the first time, he introduced himself to the abbot and said, "Abbot, I'm Gabbett." And it said that this rippled through the monastery very quickly. So Frank Duff made his annual retreat, and in fact, he knew that retreats were so important for people that when he was working in Bentley Place to bring out the women of the streets back to their homes before they were restored to their families, they would go on a retreat and go to confession and then go to Santa Maria Hostel and there straighten out their lives and then eventually be restored back to their families. But he saw the retreat as a real opportunity for conversion. And it was when he was on retreat at Mount Mellery that he was given a book that unlocked the true devotion to Mary. As you know, he had read the true devotion a number of times, but he had difficulties with it because he just did not have the foundation of a knowledge of Mary. And so he asked one of the monks if he could borrow a book from their library about the Blessed Mother. And the monk brought him back a book by Father Joseph de Concilio called The Knowledge of Mary. And Frank Duff read this book and he said, "This is exactly what I need." So he began to hand copy the book, the Knowledge of Mary, during the entire week he was there. He almost copied the entire book. And really, the Legion Handbook is a synthesis of that book, The Knowledge of Mary. But a retreat made a great impact upon Frank Duff's life. Now, the I in spirituality stands for his intellectual life. Frank Duff was brilliant. He was an avid reader. He could remember almost everything he read. He was very knowledgeable about sacred scripture. He loved reading church history. He studied the lives and the writings of the saints. He studied Catholic apologetics. Some of the main authors that influenced him were Father Faber, the convert, and also Cardinal Newman. They were major influences upon Frank Duff. Also, Frank Duff read every book published on the Blessed Mother in English, French, and Latin between the year 1917 and 1980 when he died. He could read these languages, and any book that came out on Our Lady, he would read. So his brilliant intellect. Now, following that is the letter T, which is the fact that he was a great theologian. Even though he only had a limited education up to the age of 14, he was, I believe, a brilliant theologian. You just have to read the Legion Handbook to see what a depth of spirituality and knowledge that Frank Duff had. In fact, he really is the author of the Legion Handbook. And in the handbook, you'll see what a theologian he was when you read the sections on the Blessed Trinity, on Our Lady, Mary's motherhood of souls. He had a profound insight into Mary's spiritual maternity and into the doctrine of the mystical body of Christ, and especially Mary's relationship to the Holy Spirit. Frank Duff himself wrote the Legion Promise on his knees during one of his retreats in Mount Mellerain. And in fact, once when my dad was with Frank Duff, he noticed Frank Duff's rosary, and he asked if he could look at it. And on the back of Frank Duff's crucifix on the rosary, he had glued the Holy Spirit. So Frank Duff had a great understanding and great relationship with the Holy Spirit. Also, we see in the handbook a great knowledge of suffering, the value of suffering that Frank Duff talks about in the handbook, as well as the duties of the lay apostolate. Now, Frank Duff wrote so much because, as you know, he would write for Maria Legionis, and that came out, I guess, maybe 4 or 6 times a year. During 40 years, he wrote an article every single issue. And that's really what's holding up this canonization process, because the postulator has to read all the writings of Frank Duff. And so if you want to become a saint, don't write too much, okay? Because before they can canonize you, they have to read to make sure everything is orthodox. Now, so that's the only thing that's really slowing down his canonization process. But he was a theologian, in my opinion, and I hope one day he'll be considered a doctor of the church because of what he wrote in the Legion Handbook. Because St. Therese is a doctor of the church, and primarily because of her autobiography, which influenced millions and millions of people. But the Legion Handbook has been influencing millions of people since it was written in the early days of the Legion. In fact, next to the Bible, I don't believe there's a Catholic book that is as studied as the Legion Handbook. I mean, what other books are read each and every week by 6 million people, week in and week out, at a weekly meeting? So he's a theologian, in my opinion. Now, the next letter in spirituality is U, and that stands for the fact that Frank Duff was unique. Okay? He was a genius. He invented, as a young man, a new system of calculus, which was adopted. He also, one day, was riding his bicycle and noticed the gears didn't work too well, so he redrew a design for the gears and sent it to Raleigh, and Raleigh changed their whole gear system on their bikes because of what Frank Duff sent them. Frank Duff had a photographic memory. He could recall days and times and places from 60 years before. When he was being interviewed in 1979, he was recalling events of 1917 and 1918 and 1921 as if he was watching a movie. He also, of course, was very, very good at sports. He was a great athlete in tennis and cricket, and he had superhuman strength. That was one of the unique things about Frank Duff, is that even though he was about average height, he was a little thin and wiry, but he was tough as nails. And there were many times when he was physically attacked. For example, in the early days, once a drunken soldier came up and tried to stab Frank Duff, and fortunately Frank Duff moved out of the way, and then Frank Duff belted the fella, and he says, "Muhammad Ali would have been proud of the hit I gave this fella." And a friend of my family, Don Taggart, noticed something interesting, and I guess it was maybe the 1970s when they were over, 1980s, I forget when it was, but Frank Duff was 71 years old at the time, so this would have been actually about 1960 then. They were over in Ireland, and there was a large group of legionaries, maybe 300 or 400 legionaries, and they had to arrange the seating. And Frank Duff picked up a table, put it over his head, and just carried it across the room and put it down. And Frank Duff was 71 at the time. And Don Taggart went over when nobody was looking and tried to lift the table. It was solid oak. And Don could hardly even budge it. And yet Frank Duff had carried it across his head all the way over to the other side of the room. So he had superhuman strength. It's also interesting that Frank Duff had been involved in politics before. He was a civil servant, and if he had pursued his political career, it's possible he would have become the president of Ireland. But that's how brilliant a person he was, and how diplomatic and how good an organizer he was. Now, it's also interesting that Frank Duff never married, as you know. That's sort of unique about him. He devoted his entire life to the spreading of the gospel as a lay apostle. And as you know, Frank Duff had a number of secretaries, that would have been more than happy to marry him had he so been inclined. Once when he was asked, would he ever marry? He said, why should I make one woman miserable when I can keep half a dozen waiting in hopeful expectation? Now, it's also of interest to note that Frank Duff had great power over souls. Because of his holiness, he could influence people. In fact, once two Mormons came to his house and tried to convert him. And he invited them in, and 2 hours later, these Mormons who had been fallen away Catholics, by the time they left Frank Duff, they had decided to come back to the Catholic faith. They didn't know what they got into by knocking on Frank Duff's door. But Frank Duff was actually, he was unique, but he was an ordinary Catholic. And that's something that he always emphasized in the Legion. He didn't like when he heard of people having visions or locutions or anything abnormal. He wanted normal Catholicism, you know, prayer, the sacraments, penance, spiritual reading. He said, this is what makes us Catholic. The other things are not, as you know, sometimes we can get into trouble. And he noticed that in the past, in different places throughout the world, when people got into these things, sometimes it even led them out of the church. So Frank Duff was always a little bit skeptical of anything out of the ordinary. But he did have many attacks from the devil. And this is something that Father Bradshaw talks about in his book, Frank Duff, the Founder of the Legion of Mary. And there are many cases where the devil would attack Frank Duff. On one occasion when my dad was there after breakfast, Frank Duff had a patch on his head. My dad asked what happened. And Frank Duff said, well, I was just clipping my hair with the scissors this morning and I felt a force try to go after my good ear. And so he said he always has to be careful around sharp instruments because the devil would always try to hurt Frank Duff, which is what the devil does when he can't get people in other ways. He tries to get them in this way. On one occasion, Frank Duff was walking down the hallway in his house, and there was a large mirror, maybe about 7 feet by 5 feet, and it had been bolted to the wall. And as he walked down the hall, it ripped off the wall and hurled itself towards him. Luckily, he was able to move out of the way, and it did not hurt him. But he always had to be careful because of these attacks from the devil. Now, what else is unique about Frank Duff is the fact that he was a miracle worker during his life. He always carried with him the relic of the true cross. And there were many people that were cured of different illnesses through Frank Duff's prayers and the blessing of the relic of the true cross. Nellie Jessup, who was one of the indoor sisters in the hospital, her sister was dying of cancer. And Frank Duff went and blessed her, and she immediately recovered and lived another about 30 years after the blessing. My own godfather, Al Norell, was cured of cancer of the esophagus by Frank Duff when Frank Duff laid the relic of the true cross on him. So he was a unique saint, and God willing, he'll be canonized one day. The next letter in spirituality is A, and that stands for Frank Duff's apostolic life. Now, even before he began the Legion, Frank Duff was an apostle. You know, in the early days of the turn of the century, the Protestants were having soup kitchens, and they would give the poor people of Ireland, of Dublin, free soup if they would listen to an anti-Catholic sermon. And Frank Duff would go out and picket these things. He would stand in front of the soup kitchen door and tell the Catholics they should not go in there. And he would even, out of his own pocket, made arrangements for a restaurant down the street that he got vouchers and would give these to the men. Out of his own pocket, he paid for this, and the men would go down there and have breakfast and not have to listen to the anti-Catholic sermon. So he was very apostolic, even as an individual, even before he worked with the Legion. Bentley Place, how they cleaned up the red light district is phenomenal. And then Frank Duff's apostolic life was just a tremendous thing when we consider not only his Legion work, which he continued to do, but his vast correspondence. During his life, it's estimated he wrote 200,000 letters. Again, this is making his cause very difficult because they're trying to get copies of all these letters from everybody. And Frank Duff corresponded with Edel Quinn for the 8 years she was in Africa. And in fact, he corresponded with Muslims, Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, to try to bring them into the true faith. One Jehovah Witness said that he could have compiled all Frank Duff letters into a book on Catholic apologetics. That's how much he wrote, even to this, just to one person. Next comes L, and that stands for Frank Duff's loyalty to the church and his love for the church. He especially loved the Pope and the Vicar of Christ, and Frank Duff had the privilege of meeting a number of the popes, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 2nd. In fact, on the last visit he ever had to Rome, when he was with John Paul II, John Paul II said to him, "Mr. Duff, I just want to encourage you that victory comes through Mary." And that's what Frank Duff named his last book, was Victory Through Mary. But Frank Duff had a great loyalty to the church and obedience to the Pope, and also a great respect for priests. He would always respect the clergy and the hierarchy, even when the hierarchy sometimes would make it very difficult for him to spread the legion. But Frank Duff was a man of loyalty to the church. And especially after Vatican II, when there was so much doctrinal confusion, a lot of people were, getting very confused about what is the true teachings of the faith, Frank Duff really steered the legion and kept it orthodox during all the doctrinal confusion. And it was difficult for Frank Duff because before Vatican II, the legion was seen as progressive, lay people out there knocking on doors, evangelizing. And after Vatican II, it was seen as outdated. So it was very difficult for him, but he was able to keep the legion loyal to the church and to the Holy Father. Then comes the letter I. And there's three letter I's in this word spirituality, so it hasn't always been easy. But the I stands for Frank Duff's interests. His interests were very widespread. Of course, he loved nature. He loved his own country of Ireland and the beautiful scenery. He loved to bicycle, and he would always have bicycling trips with his legion friends. And he called his bicycling group the Sprockets. And so they would travel all over Ireland. And Frank Duff had a great interest in photography. He would always take slides of wherever he went. And he was a man where he wanted things done a certain way. And so when they were at a beautiful spot, he would have everybody stand and pose. And he would sometimes have them stand there, for a few minutes. And he would let them know if they moved or anything. He would get on the case about that. But he was very interested in capturing the beauty of God's creation. He loved music and singing, and he always said there should be joy in the Legion. He said if you don't have a good laugh at a Presidium meeting, it wasn't a good meeting. And there should always be joy and lightheartedness in the Legion. He even wrote an operetta called Moscow Moments, where it was all about people going to Russia to evangelize. But it was like a singing operetta. And he loved his Irish stories and would always be telling Irish jokes. His other interests were reading mystery novels. He loved detective stories and mystery novels. He loved space and space travel and studying the solar system. He also read Time magazine every week just to keep up on current events. So he noticed that his interests were very widespread, but they were all good, wholesome things, things that would enrich his faith and his spiritual life. Now, the last two letters are T and Y. And the T, of course, stands for the true devotion to Mary. Because if you look at the spirituality of Frank Duff, it was really based on de Montfort's True Devotion, which he read a copy of in 1917. And he had to read it, as I mentioned, 6 or 7 times before he was able to accept it as true. When he first read it, he thought it was exaggerated. He thought it was just not right. But after a number of readings, he was given the grace to accept it as true. And then Father De Concilio's book on the knowledge of Mary gave him the foundation he needed to totally understand the book. So Frank Duff lived the consecration. He then lived in union with Our Lady and in dependence upon Our Lady. So if we're going to imitate the spirituality of Frank Duff, We have to read and study the true devotion and practice it. Lastly, we come to the letter Y, which stands for, not Y2K, but Frank Duff's yearning for souls. He had a great yearning for the salvation of souls, which was really Our Lady living through him. See, the true devotion gave him this union with Our Lady, and because he was united to Our Lady, he himself had Our Lady's anxiety for the salvation of souls. Frank Duff always prayed and worked for the conversion of the entire world. In fact, once he was with Father Aidan McGrath, and Father McGrath was 75 years old, and he was going to be sent back to these little groups of islands in the Philippines. And Frank Duff took Father McGrath into his study, and he took a map. Frank Duff had maps of everywhere in the world. Even though he didn't travel a whole lot outside of Ireland, he had maps, and he knew the geography of the world because he knew what the Legion was doing in all parts of the world. So he took out these maps of Indonesia and these little tiny islands, and he got down on his knees like a little kid, and he said, "Father McGrath, these islands have worried me my entire life." Now, could we say that? Could we say those people that are unchurched worry us? They should. The salvation of their souls is at stake. So Frank Duff had this yearning for souls. So this is really the spirituality of Frank Duff. His great desire to become a saint, his life of prayer and penance, his apostolic life, the practicing of the true devotion, his spiritual reading that he did. I truly believe and I hope that it won't be long that his canonization will come about. But he obviously he lived a life of heroic virtue, and his great work is bearing fruit in the Legion. But what we need are miracles and a spreading of popular devotion to him. That's really the only thing lacking in the canonization process, besides the voluminous things he wrote, is the fact that we just need more of a popular veneration of him in the church. And we need miracles. So if there's a situation in your presidium of somebody that you know that's dying of cancer or has a serious illness, why not pray to Frank Duff? And that could be the miracle that brings about his beatification or his canonization. So let me end by reading the prayer for the beatification of servant of God, Frank Duff. God our Father, you inspired your servant, Frank Duff, with a profound insight into the mystery of your church, the body of Christ, and the place of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in this mystery. In his immense desire to share this insight with others and in filial dependence on Mary, he formed her legion to be a sign of her maternal love for the world and as a means of enlisting all her children in the church's evangelizing work. We thank you, Father, for the graces conferred on him and for the benefits accruing to the church from his courageous and shining faith. With confidence, we beg you that through his intercession, you grant the petition which we now lay before you. We ask, too, that if it be in accordance with your will, the holiness of his life may be acknowledged by the church for the glory of your name. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.